Yeah. Secretary Wirtz, 9-1.
Well, looks like, Bill, you've got zero tonight.
I just reported ceiling zero, visibility zero.
I just saw it on the ticker. What's the pitch?
Just absolute nothing. The union has gone back to a position which is higher than its position last July. In numbers, the three-year figure would be $110 million plus cost of living. And I've absolutely refused to budge. So unless there's some other game going on in town, which I'm beginning to wonder whether there is, this one is just, there's just nothing here.
What do you think might be going on?
Well, I know that Steiger's called them in, first I know that I sent Steiger's a report of an intensive 2 days negotiation, which he did not use up there today. Instead of that, he called the carriers in after the session. He talked to the union the night before. He's proposed mediation to them. He's asked them to give him a face-saving offer that he could use for the union, and he would ram it down their throats. The whole thing doesn't add up. I expect he's just playing a little side game of his own, but I don't know. These people, there's no business here today. I think the carriers are very suspicious at this point that we've got some new policy that we haven't let them in on, but we're going to hook them on someplace. I'm a little confused myself. They add up the Jack Conner statement. It's something from Henry Fowler, Joe Fowler, that I haven't seen at all yet. I don't know what that was. And then Cronkite had some statement.
They're trying to agree with you. Just doing their best to agree with you that everything is not dependent on the guidelines, and it didn't wreck the world when steel went up. Both of them came in today. Conner came in first. We talked about everything imaginable, including some of his personnel problems. When he went out, they asked him if he thought that the steel increases wrecked the guidelines and tore everything to pieces. And he said, well, you've got to understand that you don't judge averages when you're judging your own business. The guidelines are an average of 3-2, and we want to stay as close to them as we can, all we can to them. But this is done, and we did everything we could to avoid it, and I don't see that $50 million profits out of $18 billion is going to wreck the nation, although we'd prefer it not be done. And Fowler went out, and they tried to get him to differ with Conner. He didn't. He said about the same thing. And so then they tried to get Bill Moyers to denounce them both and say that labor had won, with words and meaning raising hell about guidelines, that they had won and kicked over the guideline. Bill said, no, we're going to continue to keep things as stable as we can, use every weapon that we have, but there are cases where you don't always win. You have some runs and some hits and some errors.
Yeah.
In this case, we don't have any steel we can sell. We don't have any surplus. They raised their price. We asked them to come see us. They refused. We don't know really what you can do when that happens. If they'd ask us to talk to them before they raised, we'd been glad to. But when we asked them, they didn't choose to. So that's about it. And I think that everything either one of them said is very much in keeping with your doctrine. Matter of fact, I gather that you haven't been a strict 100% guideline man.
Well, I think you'll agree I've played it that way.
Yeah.
I've been played it 100%.
Yeah, that's right. What I think we've all done is try to keep it as close to it as we could, and still maybe we've been a little too close to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm beginning to worry about Did Meany ever come report to you or tell you anything?
Not a thing. He's, as far as I know, never even seen these local people that that were brought in. Jim Reynolds and I spent 2 hours with them tonight. It'll be here late afternoon from 6 to 8. They're a pretty reasonable bunch of guys after you get them cooled off. They came in here full of poison, full of hate. This fellow C. Miller has been giving them dope, that's all, and they came in here with more cockeyed notions about the government, the administration, and the economy than you could believe. We talked to them for 2 hours, and I think made a great deal of headway with them. They then went back to meet with C. Miller, and he didn't even call. C. Miller, you see, I don't know what game C. Miller's playing. You're apparently sure that there's nothing in this Braniff report. He showed me a piece of paper today, a letter from his man out in wherever Braniff's headquarters are, I can't think.
Dallas.
I'm not sure it was from Dallas. A letter from his general chairman out there on that property, enclosing a memorandum of the things that had already been agreed to by Braniff. And C. Miller's story is that the only reason they don't have an agreement there is that they're going after cost of living, too, but that Braniff has agreed to the 5-5-5, all that.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the principal members of Braniff's board, who's not only a good friend of mine, he's chairman of the Board of Regents, the University of Texas, and he's here at the wedding and staying with us, so I just asked him to pick up phone. His man Troy Post bought out Braniff and made him go on the board with him. So he picked up the phone, called him, and he said never heard of it. And they made him call Harding Lawrence, who is the executive vice president. And he said, well, not a such thing. We're not negotiating any contract with them. Haven't had any discussion with them. The only contact we ever had with them at all in the last few weeks is they wanted the tickets to go up there, and we made them a reservation. And he said, well, now, you understand, do you, that if you did break this stabilization policy, the government would break your back? They said, yeah, they sure did, and they didn't need to be told that.
Well, I told Bill when I tried to call you last night, you were on the boat, I talked to Bill, and told him that I had this from C. Miller, whom I had told him from the start was a liar, and therefore could be credited or not credited. But this is his explanation. But all this, if there's anything at this point moving any place, I don't know about it. I don't think there is. I don't know what the prospects are up there in that house and passage of that bill. Over the head count in the committee this morning. Pretty hard to guess some of these fellows on the basis of their questioning. Some of whom I would have assumed were going one way or the other aren't so clear. Staggers is now reported as intending to wind up his hearings tomorrow morning. Tomorrow at either morning or night sessions, and to report a bill out on Wednesday or Thursday.
Well, don't you think you ought to call Meany and tell him that the president called him and he understood he's coming down Saturday and he hadn't heard from him, and you ask him if Meany doesn't want to check into this thing and report to me tomorrow?
Sure.
I think so. I don't understand Meany not doing it.
Mr. President, they haven't done a thing on this one. We spent Saturday and Sunday constantly on the phone and in meetings, and getting every one of the meetings was just like pulling eye teeth, so that it's perfectly obvious that they just didn't want any business, and I can't add that up. Just can't add that up. I thought I had an addition on it when I heard this Braniff report, that that's what they were playing for. That seemed to make sense. Otherwise, it doesn't seem to make sense at all. They were playing games with Harley Staggers, that would make sense, but I don't believe that either Staggers or C. Miller is smart enough to play that game and get away with it.
I think what they've done is got agreement out of Staggers that he won't get a bill before Thursday, and he can't pass it this week, and I think the companies will throw in the towel before next week.
There's no sign. I've had no signs of that at all the last few days. Just none at all. And none since those flare-ups Friday afternoon. Friday night.
Did any of them explain why they voted down the agreement? Just too little?
I can give you a full story on that. It differs from place. Yeah, that comes from these presidents. First, I'll give you Seemuller's story. He won't like it, but he says that the inclusion of the reference to Wayne Morse and to the board and to the guidelines in that announcement was a killer. Well, I said, Roy, and this he announced in this in the big joint session we had this afternoon. I said, Roy, there was no reference to any guidelines in that statement, as you know, and really, to blame when you were off by over 50% in your estimate of your people's position on this. You tell us now to take 125 million. You agreed on 75 million. You were off over 50%. That just is cockeyed. Just cockeyed. Now, as far as these people are concerned, themselves, they've been fed some of that poison. They've been straightened out on that now.
I've got a statement in front of me, and it didn't say anything like that.
Not a thing. Not a thing. It just
says both sides, the parties and the airlines, are here with me to report that they reached agreement on the terms.
That's right.
The agreement reached a few minutes ago between the five airlines and the machinist is essentially within the general framework of the Presidential Emergency Board's recommendation, chaired by Senator Moore. Obtaining a settlement within this framework has been the objective of the administration ever since the board made its report. The fact that productivity has advanced so rapidly means, according to all participants in the settlement, that this settlement will not be inflationary. Unit labor costs in air transportation will continue to decline, thus assuring this settlement will not contribute to any increased pressure. The details of this agreement must be presented to and thoroughly discussed by all the members of this union in order that they might act upon the recommendation of their leaders this Sunday. As soon as the membership votes, the full detail of their vote and settlement will be announced. That's all it says.
Well, it's no point. I guess you know that my very, very strong recommendation was against an announcement being made on it. But
no, I didn't know that. Well, nobody gave me that word. I thought you'd written a statement. Who wrote it?
Just don't mean to complicate your life for you, Mr. President. You've just got to work. You've got to work through these people, and I find Joe Califano a very great help to you in my judgment. But when you tell me that you didn't know that my recommendation was that there not be such a statement, that there not be a meeting,
no.
It sort of breaks my heart.
Well, I never heard of it.
But we can work that out. He's a good boy. I'll tell you who worked out the statement. It was worked out by Joe and by Gardner. They showed it to me. I raised a number of objections to it. They showed it to me as a statement which was to be made by Gardner. I said I wish it didn't have to be made at all until this ratification is over. I didn't know until we got over to the White House that there was to be and I was assured that you were not going to be making a statement. That's the. I have to say to you that I think it was not a help to make the statement from the White House. But that's not the answer to your question. They would have turned this down, and there is no question about it. They would have turned it down without regard to that. And I think they probably would have turned it down because I think Roy C. Miller has been as essentially dishonest on this as anybody could be. Now, if you go into the details, they want a cost of living, and they want it very badly. And today, that's their principal complaint. They have been told that other airlines, other